Turn with me, please, to Psalm 7. Psalm 7. We're looking this evening at this small word beginning with the letter T, trust. Trust, a very small word. Oh, what a word though. What a word where it is positive. And what a word where it is betrayed. There were probably few people that people in this world can say that they trust. They trust. When I say trust, I don't mean hope to trust. I mean impeccably trust. And such is trust. Such is trust when people place their trust and confidence in others and then it's betrayed. So much is the pain of that trust being betrayed. Because indeed, where there is no trust and where the trust has been removed, the whole building of all those relationships, whether they be workplace, whether they be friendship, whether they be relationship, everything comes tumbling down. Without trust, there is nothing. There's nothing. Trust speaks of confidence. Trust speaks of being able to rely upon another. Now, in this world, there really is no perfect trust that we can have for every single element of life. Not even in the most perfect relationships and friendships and partnerships in business or workplace, employee relationships and employer relationships. We are all fallible, and so to some small degree we break the trust. We break the trust. You cannot trust someone completely in this world. Not absolutely. Not 200%. You just cannot. To say that someone can would be foolish. And yet there are basic areas of trust where if someone is relied upon by another, it can be kept. It can be kept. I was saying even the other evening, when people tell me things, especially in the, not just in the realm, not exclusively, but especially in the realm of the church. If someone tells me anything, it goes without saying with me. It goes without saying that is never divulged to anyone else. It's not spoken of with anyone else unless someone says, I can. Unless that individual says, I can. Because once that which you have entrusted to somebody, you abuse, they will never come to you again. They will never trust you again. Such things are important in this world. But there is only, ultimately, only one who you can trust. Who you can trust. What I mean by this is trust to never fail. Trust to always be there. I said again the other evening, I will do my best to be there for you to call me. But I cannot guarantee that I am not laying in a hospital bed with a broken arm, broken leg, can I? I cannot control the future. I do not know the future. Our promises that we make, however genuine, they're limited. They're limited to time. They're limited to time and the events of life. But there is one alone who above all others you can trust. And that is God Almighty himself. But of course, when I say God Almighty, I mean the one true God that he is called in the scriptures. There is only one God. There is only one God. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy again, there is one God. There is one God. And so, even as God Almighty says himself in the prophets, he says, all the other gods are idols. They're not God. The God who has revealed himself in this book, his word, and in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he alone is God. And so therefore he is the only one trustworthy. Because the others are all deceptions. They are liars. The apostle says there is one God, only the one. And because there is only one, there is naturally only one way to God. There is one God and one mediator between God and man. And notice the way the words are phrased. There is one God and one mediator, not between men and God, but between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. You see, mankind, all of us, by nature, we do not seek God. We do not seek after God. Nobody seeks after God. There is none who seeks after God. No, not one. None that does what's right. We do not seek after the true God. We seek after the gods of our own imagination, of our own desire. We seek God to be the God who will do for us what we want him to do. He is the one who we control. He is the one who we want to command to do our will. By nature, that's what we are. That's what we are. We seek our own. We seek not God. We seek our own. That's what God's people are referred to as. They're referred to as lost sheep. Isaiah the prophet says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Not seeking after God. Not seeking after true God. Seeking after, if there be a God we speak of, it's the God of our own way. Who in effect is ourself. But there is only one God, and there's only one mediator, only one way of access to God Almighty. That is through the God-man, Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus. And we see here at the beginning of Psalm 7, the psalmist David says, O Lord my God. What a statement. Oh Lord my God. Can you say that? Can you say that right now? My God. Now there's a sense where God is the God of all the earth. He is. Not just a sense, he is the God of all the earth. He rules all the earth. We are all his creation. And he is our God. He is the God with whom we all have to do. He is the God with whom we must all answer. He is the Spirit. He is the God to whom the Spirit must return one day. The scripture says. He is the one we must return. Our spirit must return to the one who gave it. But, we're not talking about God ruling his creation here. We're talking about a personal knowing God. A personal knowledge of God. A personal experience of God. Yes, we believe in experience. We read of the Apostle Paul that indeed that experience of God coming to him, arresting him in his sin, and making him willing in the day of his power is a pattern to all who must come to God, to all who must believe. And the psalmist says here, O Lord my God. And we don't get the strength or the depth of this until we go a little bit closer, we delve a little bit closer and see the meaning of the word, of the name translated Lord. As you will see in capitals in your Bibles. Whenever you see this word in capitals, sometimes it's not in capitals when it should be, but you'll see it in capitals here because it's speaking of, it is the English translation of the name for God, one of the many names for the one God, which speak of his attributes and his nature. This name, Lord, is the name Jehovah or Yahweh. And this name speaks of who God is, that he exists of himself, that he exists without another, that he exists needing none other, that he exists super existing. He always has been and he always will be. God Almighty, this God who does not need anyone to come to him. He doesn't need anyone. He has no need of another. He has no need of fellowship or friendship with another. This God, he says, O Lord, my God, mine, my God. Is he your God? Is he your God? This God who David the psalmist says, my God, Lord, my God, is him who came and took frail flesh. He is the Lord Jesus. He is the very expression of God. No one has seen the Father at any time. The Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him unto us. And this Lord Jesus, when he came into the world, the angel said distinctly and definitely, you shall call his name Jesus for this purpose, because of what the name means. You shall call his name Jesus, which means God is salvation. God saves. Or more literally put, Jehovah is salvation. And so when David says, O Jehovah, O Lord my God, he says, you are my Saviour God. You're my Saviour. You're mine. And so in the light of that, he has confidence to say the next words. For we see here, O Lord my God, in you, you could put in brackets there, though we don't seek to add to the word of God, but this is exactly what it's meaning. in you alone I put my trust. My trust. My absolute, complete and utter trust. My faith is in you. My confidence is in you. We're given many definitions of what faith is in the Word of God. And faith is simple trust. Simple trust. The Lord Jesus says, the one who comes to him, unless they come as a little infant would, they can in no wise enter the kingdom. How simple is the trust of a little infant? A little hand. A little hand. A little hand. No matter how little, it still has a grip. But it knows that the one holding them has the bigger grip. That's exactly what David's trust was. In you I put my trust. Firstly, we should see three things from this term, trust. Firstly, the question I ask is this. In who or in whom do you confide in this world? Who do you confide in? Who is your confidant? You have people in positions of power, people in positions of rule. They have confidants. They have those who they seek as their advisors. Yes, in a lot of cases, their advisors are the ones who tell them the things they want to hear. Or they mysteriously resign. Let's not get political. But who do you confide in? Who is your confiding in? Is your confiding in the ones who tell you the things you want to hear? Or is your confiding in one that you can trust in? One that you can trust in. Do you have someone with whom you entrust your innermost thoughts? Now that's something different. Your innermost thoughts. Who is it that you bring all your concerns to? Do you have anyone that you can bring all your concerns to? Well, you know, the people in this world, they find themselves at wit's end so often that they will call the various anonymous phone lines for assistance, for help, to get something off their chest. Someone that knows them not. Well, those things are helpful in and of themselves. But I would tell you, there is one. There is one to be confided in who knows the one confiding in him through and through. The psalmist here says how he puts all his trust in the one. In the one far greater and far abler. He says, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. His trust is in Jehovah God, the self-existent one who needs none other. And so the word for trust here, which has various meanings, at the outset we see here, means to confide. It means to confide. It means to to indeed share everything with. And if you are one called to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, Him who is this Saviour, self-existent, everlasting God and Saviour, you have the best, the greatest, the only one you need to confide in. Did you know that? Not just as we tend to so often think, oh, we'll come to him when all else fails. No, he is the one. He's the confidant. He's the one we come to. We have no need of another. If you are indeed trusting Christ, you can confide in him everything and anything. Everything and anything. And if you are in Christ Jesus, trusting him as your Saviour, you know everything, even the innermost thoughts of your heart. There is no condemnation coming to him. His face smiles upon you. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. You know these words very well. Hebrews 4 verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold fast our belief. Let us hold fast our faith. Let us hold fast that which we believe and that which we cling to. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See this. You who trust the Lord Jesus, you who have trusted the Lord Jesus, you who even are called to trust the Lord Jesus now, you who trust the Lord Jesus for salvation, you have the best friend. You have the best friend. He's not just a good friend. He is the best friend. You will not find a friend like him, in whom to confide. In whom to confide. Casting all your care upon him. What a lovely verse. Throwing your cares upon him, off of your own back, and throwing them on him. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And you're not going to cast your care upon one who you do not know cares for you, are you? But when in Christ our trust is, we cast our care upon him. Secondly, you can only confide in Christ if you know this trusting him unto salvation. If your trust unto salvation is wholly and only in and on him. For of course, the word here translated trust means simply trust as well. It means to trust, to place trust, to place trust, not just to confide, but to, in that confiding, actually trust the one who you come to is not just able to do what they say they will do, but will do what they say they will do. The one coming to Christ is implored, is invited, is commanded, is drawn by the Lord, saying to them, come unto me. Come unto me, all you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you know what? The one coming unto me, the one who cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. That's what it means to trust Christ. To take him at his word. To take him at his word. Do we take the Lord at his word often enough? Even as believers, do we trust in the Lord with all our heart, leaning not on our own understanding? Knowing that as we indeed we lean not on our own understanding. Know that he will direct our paths. Let us not be quick to place our trust in what we think we know. Let us always take the Lord at what he has said. Let us know his word. Let us know his promises to us. And yes, we can claim those precious promises. Because the Lord is faithful who has promised. That's what his word says. He can be trusted. He is to be trusted. Unless you have Christ dwelling within, there is no joy. There is no hope. There is no salvation. And so there is no trust in Christ. For this word is also not only to trust, but to confide, but it is also to have hope. To have hope. To have absolute and utter confidence. The word of God puts it this way: it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is your hope placed in tonight? What is the trusting and the hoping that you have placed in tonight? Looking towards the future, the coming days. Is it in the things of this world that are always changing? Or is it in the security of the eternal? If in Christ your trust is, your life is hid with him. It's hid in glory. And indeed, if you be in Christ, Christ be in you, and you have the hope of glory itself, of that which awaits, where neither moth nor rust can destroy, where neither thief can break in and steal. Where is your trust tonight? And so, lastly, and thirdly, why trust Christ? Why trust Christ? I think that's a fair enough question. Why trust Christ? Why trust the Lord my God? Why trust him? Because, as the word also means here, he is a refuge. My trust means he is my refuge. He's my place of escape. He's my place I run to. He's my place that I can find safety in. People in this world look to so many things to find refuge from that which ails them, that which gets them down. And they're all short term. Whether it be gambling, whether it be hedonistic lifestyle, whether it be drink, drugs, and rock and roll. Whatever it may be, it's all passing away. None of it lasts. Everything lasts but for an hour. People seek refuge in religion. Seek refuge in being part of a legalistic, tradition-based religion. Seeking that they can somehow be right with God, be accepted with their fellow man by what they pretend to be on the outside. There's no refuge in these things. Christ is the only true refuge. He's the only way of refuge. He is the refuge. The only way of escape from sin's punishment, which is indeed the wrath of God. He's the ark of salvation. He is indeed the one that the scriptures implore you now to do, to flee to Christ, to flee from the wrath which is to come. But fleeing to him, you can trust wholly that he shall keep you. The Lord Jesus, for you who trust him, for you who believe on him already, he is the hiding place. The hiding place. And when Christ is your hiding place, none can find you. None can get to you. He's the hiding place. He's not only the hiding place of you trusting in him. He is the one who has hold of you. He is the one who has you in his hand, saying, "None shall pluck them from my hand." What a confidence there is to be had in this Lord God. When you are helpless and in need of protection, whatever that may be, he is the strong tower. And no attacks can get to you, can get you down and destroy you. And your faith being much, much more precious than of silver and gold that perisheth, can never be destroyed. Never be destroyed. Your salvation can never be taken away. He is your shield. What did this Lord say to Abraham when he met with him shortly before he believed God? He believed on the Lord and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He was accepted with God. He believed on this Saviour God. He said, "I am thy shield, thine exceedingly great reward." That shield of faith on Christ that we read of in Ephesians 6. It is part of the armour of God. Christ is that armour and he gives us the armour of faith on himself. Faith on Christ protects you from the deceitful, fiery darts, we're told, of the evil one. So, where is your hope tonight? Where is your trust? Is it in good friends? Is it in family? Is it in the government? Is it in what you think you believe? Is it to be found in what you think you can do to make you acceptable to God? Believer, who do you really trust? Who do you really trust? Who do you go to first? Who is the one you go to first? Do you confide in flesh and blood first? Or do you go to the Lord first? Do you go to His word first? Who do you have to confide in tonight? Who can you run to? Who can you run to? Who can you run to? Will you seek the confiding of this world and its ways? Your friends, your family, yourself? Or will you be found flinging yourself wholly, only, completely upon this Saviour God, because He is the Lord. He is the Lord. And besides Him, there is none other.